Bill Foley, this is my lead. Like, Thornton will get to and all that, but this is my lead because I now can't get this idea out of my head, and I'm going to be disappointed if it doesn't happen. Bill Foley goes on a Las Vegas radio station, and not once, but multiple times in the same interview, drops this idea of an all-Canadian division in the NHL next year because COVID restrictions are going to cause border crossing difficulties and all of that stuff. Do you think this happens?
I think it depends on the border. It's on the table. There's no question about it. See, initially, from what I heard, it was proposed and the league wasn't crazy about it. Then, as the shutdown continued longer and longer, they went back to it and said, you know, we have to at least prepare for it. So it's on the table. And by the way, thank God for Bill Foley. I'm sure the NHL isn't saying that, but I'm very happy with all these interviews he's giving because he's giving us stuff to talk about. But I do believe it's on the table. I believe it's a possibility. It just depends on the border, right? Some teams have kind of, it's one of the, but the other thing that's an issue here is there going to be temporary bubbles? So players aren't crazy about those. I think that they've indicated to teams that there could be some temporary in and out bubbles, but I've heard the players aren't really thrilled about a bubble for any length of time. So we'll see. But I do think the Canadian division is something that they're considering because of the situation with the border. Yes.
So if they did go to the Canadian division, would it be like the Leafs playing everybody in Canada for 3 weeks and then maybe 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, they go to a spot in the U.S. and play a bunch of teams and then kind of come back?
I don't think they'd cross the border. I think it would be a year. I'm betting it's going to be somewhere around between a 45 and 55 game season. I don't want to pick the exact number, maybe 60 games at most. And I think it would just be next year, Canada versus Canada. I'd be curious to know how they would do the playoffs. But I think we're talking all the Canadian teams play each other for 1 year. And, you know, if there's traveling involved and not a bubble, then, you know, you go to Vancouver, you play them back to back. You go to Calgary, you play them back to back. You go to Edmonton, you play them back to back. You come home, go to Winnipeg, play them back to back. And then you come home and sort of do the same thing at home or with the Eastern teams. I think that's kind of what they're talking about if we're not doing bubbles.
What do you think they will want to have nailed down about the playoffs by the time the regular season starts, Elliot? Because I think outside of...
Well, they're going to have to know what the format is,
the
right?
The format and the seeding and all of that, but do they need to know whether, like, I'm going to use bubble as the example, because if American teams are playing Canadian teams in the playoffs, there might have to be some kind of bubble. Like, would the players, would the league be willing to bubble up specifically for the playoffs again, if that's what it took?
Yeah, I don't want to answer that question with a yes or no, because I don't know the answer. The only thing I know about it, Scott, is that the players have indicated they're really not crazy about the idea of bubbles, period. And not crazy might be me underselling it. I just have heard that they're against it and they've let it be known. Will we have to use some form of a bubble? Yes, it could happen. But I know the players' initial stance is that's not what they want.
With Elliot Friedman on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So, and also, Scotty, I should say, too, I believe that this key to next season is how many fans playoff teams can have in their buildings. And we don't know the answer to that yet. I do think that's a critical part of next year and a critical hope for the league.
So just to follow up on that, and he said a lot in his Financial Post interview, including predicting that his team would be Stanley Cup champs within 4 years. But Eugene Melnyk, he didn't unveil the plan. He just says that he has a plan to have 6,000 fans in Canadian Tire Center for Senators home games next year. Now, that would have to be approved and all that. I understand that.
Right.
But is that... I mean, is are those types of conversations happening? Because I would imagine that the NHL is looking at the NFL, where Jerry Jones has got, what, 11,000 or 12,000 Cowboys fans in for home games. Now, jurisdictions are going to dictate all of this. But I would imagine that all of that stuff is on the table. We know that Eugene Melnyk can be prone to hyperbole, but I mean, he wants fans in the stands. There's no question about it. I would imagine they're developing plans as best they can. Whether they get approved or not remains to be seen.
Yeah, I thought that was actually a good interview, too, that Melnyk gave. And I liked his line about 6,000 fans would be an improvement for us or whatever. I thought that was very funny. Some good owner interviews lately. Melnyk had a lot of interesting things to say in that one. And the thing, too, about Melnyk is, because of his history in pharmaceuticals, you'd think he'd actually have a clue about what he's talking about there. So I do think all the teams have modeled that out. One of the things in terms of, and I know last year there was a Board of Governors meeting on Zoom during all this, and I believe it was Ted Leonsis of Washington was explaining some things about how you get fans into the building and how long it might take fans to leave the building after a game. Like, this is all the stuff they're modeling. So, yes, I do think all these teams are doing this, looking at plans, what can we do, how can we do it. But all they are plans right now because, as you said, we just don't know. One of the things I've learned a lot about while reading up a bit more about COVID since the playoffs ended, Scott, is the question of ventilation. And as you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of these teams that are bringing fans, they're outdoor stadiums. Dallas is an exception. The Cowboys, they have a roof. So I know the league is studying that. I know they're going to look at what's happened in leagues overseas. But you know, with this thing with the SpinCo, the super spreader event in Hamilton, like, I'm a guy who's taken SpinCo classes before. I know it doesn't look like it, but trust me, I have. You know, they did everything right in terms of, you know, separation, cleaning, things like that. But there was a great article in The Atlantic about how a lot of this is about ventilation. And I think that's going to be an interesting question is, you know, are these arenas, if we do bring fans back in at some point, is the ventilation going to be good enough to keep the air as clean as possible? And I really do think that's going to be a huge key as to whether or not it's going to be possible for fans to be at indoor arenas.
Elliot Friedman with us on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So it makes total sense at 41 years old, Joe Thornton. His wife is Swiss. He has not played a competitive hockey game since March because San Jose was one of the seven worst teams in the NHL, so they didn't bubble up in Toronto or Edmonton. He needs to play if he's going to continue his NHL career. Is it an oversimplification, Elliot, to assume that he would not be putting himself through this for the sake of going back to San Jose to play for a Sharks team that a lot of people project to not be all that good? Is he playing with the intention of signing with a contender? Oh, I don't know. Say like the Maple Leafs, or do we lack clarity on what his total agenda is at this point?
Well, I think it's oversimplifying it to say that yes, because one, you know, the guy loves to play, and he has said before that when he was done in North America, he would play a year. He would want to play a year in Switzerland. So, you know, I'm not surprised he's playing, and also for the reasons you said, that they did have a feeling here, teams that were interested, that he would play because he hadn't played in that time. The full court press is on from the Maple Leafs. You know, the GM has talked to him, the coach has talked to him, I believe Austin Matthews has talked to him, I believe Jake Muzzin has talked to him, I think Tavares has, and there might even be more. I just think they've all called him and told him that he'd be really welcome here. They'd find a way to make it work here. Second unit power play, offensive situations, still a really smart player, loves playing. They think he'd be just a fun person to have around. I kind of thought personally that when they re-signed Spezza, the idea of this was over. Obviously not. They're really making a pitch, and he's listening. You know, Thornton is, you know, although he's an intensely competitive guy, he's also, in away from the rink, he's much more laid back. So it's hard to tell what his timetable is for making a decision. The Sharks want him back, obviously, too. I do think that playing for a team that's got a Stanley Cup chance is very important to him. But, you know, he's very loyal to San Jose. His family knows San Jose well. You know, and the other thing, too, is, and I don't know how much of a factor this is, Scott, but I suspect it wouldn't be insignificant. You know, Marlowe just re-signed there with a chance to break Gordie Howe's games played record. I don't know if or not, would that be something that Thornton would consider meaningful enough that he'd want to be a part of? It was just something someone threw my way. So I do believe the Maple Leafs are making a pitch and a serious one. This is not a lazy attempt at getting him. This is a real attempt at getting him. And I do think he's considering it. But I don't know which way he's leaning. And I also don't know what his timetable is.
How do you think it would work, though, Elliot? Like, I love Joe Thornton. I love what – I think he's still got a lot of game left in him. But from the guys I talk to that play with him, they say he's even better in the room. And that's kind of what I'm looking for the Toronto Maple Leafs and when you talk about adding things. But where are you going to fit Spezza in Thornton third and fourth line? That's where I'm confused. You're not going to play them together.
No, what I would wonder, like, Mike, this is just me talking out of my rear end. So I'm just, you know, I would wonder if it almost becomes like a rotation with the two of them. Like, if the schedule is as back-to-back heavy next year as we're expecting and teams are expecting, could you say, hey, one night it's Thornton, one night it's Spezza. Yeah. And then, you know, depending on injury or what else happens, you go from there. Like, That's just me thinking out loud. You know, I wonder if it's something like that.
Elliot Friedman is with us on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It was, I don't know, kind of nice, but also weird to hear Mark Bergevin get emotional in describing Brendan Gallagher, the player. Can you, in a couple of minutes here, Elliot, chronologically take us through exactly what happened culminating in Gallagher signing long-term with the Habs? Because it felt like there was a glitch in the matrix there in the middle of the week, and then all of a sudden, boom, six-year extension was announced.
Yeah, there definitely was a glitch in the matrix. I don't know if there were red pills or blue pills involved, but there was definitely a glitch in the matrix. So what happened was they traded for Anderson, they signed him to an extension, and I don't know if, like, I don't know what the proper word is, but they'd been talking to Gallagher about an extension, and I heard and I wrote that day that it was similar to the Anderson extension, which it was, just one less year and a bit more money. And, you know, I think that Gallagher was a little bit, I don't know if miffed is the right word, but that he kind of thought that since his extension hadn't been agreed to, that it was off the table. And I believe it was conveyed to him through his agent that the Canadians, because of what they'd done in free agency or with trades, they weren't going to be able to budge off this offer. And I think, you know, you've seen him play. He's a passionate guy. He's emotional. He was disappointed and he was upset, and talks did break off. And, you know, once that got reported, and it got reported in a couple of places, I think that I don't know whether the owner got involved or was just Bergevin saying, it kind of reminded me a bit of the PK Subban when he went to arbitration. The Canadians made an offer right before arbitration. Subban turned them down. They had the hearing. And the next day, before the verdict was rendered, Subban got his big deal, 8x9. And, you know, I don't know if it was just Bergevin saying, hey, let's sort this out here, or the owner got involved or what. But, you know, they picked up the phone. They called the agent, Jerry Johansson, and they just hashed it out. And they got it done. So it was definitely off the rails for, what, a few hours a day? And then they figured it out and sorted it out. But there was definitely a point where the talks broke off, and there was a point that Gallagher briefly thought that either he would be traded or he'd play out this year. Now, I know a bunch of teams called Bergevin, and he said he's not trading them, and, you know, he got it done. So it was off the rails, and it got put back on.
Good to hear your voice, pal. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, and enjoy your weekend.
When is this shooting exhibition taking place?
Because we just had the batting cage thing go down yesterday. So there's going to be some planning, and I might need to take some yoga and Pilates classes just to ensure. Because the one thing I don't want to have happen here, Elliot, is to come out of this with a hernia.
That's probably a very good idea.
Right. So,
although it might be more than that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So we'll work our way up to it. It's going to happen soon. We got to respect COVID guidelines and all that. And I would imagine it'll happen sometime shortly after the weather really turns. It's going to happen soon. Going to happen soon.
Well, good luck, Scott. And
thank
I
you.
Know Mike is going to laugh. But I'll tell you this, those UT players who are a bit younger, those guys aren't going to go easy. Those are the ones you have to worry about, Scotty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they care at all. They're going to stand up for their coach. Thanks,
Those
Bill.
Are the predators, and you are the prey.
Yes.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks. Elliot Friedman.